Morning, my reverend friend.
You travel with poor company when you travel with Nottingham soldiers.
Tax him!
Tax him!
Tax him!
Tax him!
I'm Robin of Locksley, and my men are thirsty.
That's right.
Robin Hood!
Yeah.
Lord bless me! I've been struck here for common thieves. Kindly let me pass, sir.
Surely the Lord has the charity to spare a few barrels for good Christian men. Yes? We have much to celebrate.
Well, if you wish them to share in the good Lord's brew, you must best be for it.
I know nothing. Nothing.
If there's ever going to be any progress...
There is some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons.
We're looking at TikTok. We may be banning TikTok. We may be doing some other things. There are a couple of options, but a lot of things are happening. So we'll see what happens. But we are looking at a lot of alternatives with respect
this
to TikTok.
Is highly irregular.
No, highly irregular is the time I found a human foot in a toaster oven. This is just odd.
Can somebody please explain to me the deal with 12-year-olds and alarm clocks?
What, that alarm clocks don't work?
Well, the alarm clock works fine.
No, I mean...
It does exactly what it's supposed to do.
But it doesn't wake him up.
No. You can hear the alarm clock everywhere in this house, including in here in this office. With the air conditioning running, the fan running, you can hear the alarm going off.
Yeah.
He's 2.5 feet away from it. He can't hear it.
You know what I did for our teenage son? We got an alarm clock. I think it was called the Sonic Boom or the Sonic Bomb. It has this little attachment you plug in that you slide underneath their mattress that vibrates the mattress when the alarm goes off.
Not sure that would work either.
And it's quite loud. It is like decibel, like
right.
High decibel level. Loud.
Right. So that wakes up everybody.
Well, it would. Yes. But usually, you know, do you have a problem with your teenage son needing to wake up before everyone else is in the house?
No, right. What I have a problem with is, and good morning, everybody. I'm Rabbi Dave.
And I am Friar Rod.
And this is...
Although I'm reconsidering that friar moniker.
Yes, we'll get to that. Thank you for reminding me that. What I don't get is he sets the alarm clock. He sets the alarm clock. And he sets like 4 or 5 alarms on his iPad, and he hears none of them. He sets alarms on Alexa, and he hears none of them.
He's just a really sound sleeper.
Ugh, I don't know, man. That's how my Sunday started with that going off.
Yeah.
Right? So I had to drag myself out of bed, and then I've got a text from my sister about everything that's going on back in Oklahoma, which isn't good, but... At the same time, it's like the continuing saga, I suppose. So
well, and you're going to have a distracted co-host on this show.
We are going to have a very distracted co-host because apparently Newcastle is playing on television today.
Yes, Newcastle's playing Manchester City, the number one team in the league. And, you know, our hopes are, can we at least tie?
Right. Norwich was playing them. I'd turn it off after about 3 minutes because... That's about how long the game would last. Oh, well. Football season's coming up.
It is.
Are you one of these people that gets excited about NFL preseason football?
Not at all.
I'm not either. And functionally, I've never met anybody that actually says, yes, I'm excited about preseason football. But good Lord, these people on the web, on the internets, on the Facebooks. By the way, I still don't have my other account back yet. And it has been 31 days.
Oh, wow.
The people that are out there that are just BSC over preseason football.
I don't understand it.
I don't either. Deshaun Watson. I'm sorry. Deshaun Watson.
You know what they should do? Yeah, we've often talked about having like a relegation kind of type of ladder system in American football. But, you know, if you're not going to go ahead and have like, you know, the Champions League versus the Premier League of American football, you could make preseason it. You've got to win the preseason games to actually get into that season of the year. So you have more teams than you need. And then if you don't get in, well, then you have to play the lower level football teams.
Well, I thought I had a solution to the college football problem a few weeks ago, but I'm not naming any names or pointing any fingers, but Bill and Rod didn't like my system. Anyway, welcome to the show. It's good to see everybody. Well, not see you, but at least talk with you.
Yeah.
It's been a hot week here. It is miserably hot. This is not Central California heat, you know, where it's 109, but 0% humidity. Mm-hmm. I can honestly say in 20 years of living in the Central Valley, I don't remember a single day where the heat actually got to me, where I just couldn't take it anymore. Now, there were
you could go outside and it's not so oppressive or anything like that. It's just this dry heat.
Right. There were moments where I would walk into a freezer at a Costco or something and just hang out for a while. But it wasn't something that I felt like I had to. Man, I'm telling you here, and it's not even that hot. It's only in the 90s.
Yeah.
But the humidity is oppressive. I mean, it's almost Georgia-type humidity.
And well, you see, we did a smart thing when we got married. Our first house was a very, very old house and had no air conditioning. And the car that I had when we first were married had no air conditioning. And so we learned how to cool ourselves down without air conditioning. But then, of course, you know, once we had the chance, we upgraded everything.
Well, I can't wait to see our electric bill this month because we've installed three room air conditioners, but the house itself does not have them. But it's gotten to the point where, like yesterday, at a sub-base picnic, and by the time that picnic was done, I was just wrung out. I mean, I felt like I was surprised I was able to drive home. That's how bad it was. And by the time I got home, all I wanted to do was, number one, get in the shower. Full blast cold, and then lay there in front of the air conditioner for like an hour. Couldn't move. I mean, it was bad. So it's still hot here today, but you'll notice you don't hear the air conditioner running in the background of my office here because I have to turn it off to record, which means that we should probably get to the point because in about 20 to 30 minutes, I'm going to be like in here. So there you go. Thanks to everybody for downloading the show, listening. Got an email and a comment this week. So
awesome.
So there's that. You can always email us at WTF@whatthefrock.org or comment on our Facebook page or even on our actual webpage.
Yeah.
I was having a discussion with a consultant the other day. So little inside baseball secret here, Ron. I actually have a consultant that I hired some years ago for my show.
Okay.
Which I don't know why I did, because I never listened to her.
You still pay her?
No comment. Anyway, the point being that she was talking about, you know,
she's an expert in social relations.
She actually has a lot of good stuff to say, and she's right about some of the stuff, but some of the stuff she's so outrageously ridiculous on. It's like, And then she'll look at me and say, well, but you're not Joe Rogan. So I'm not trying to be Joe Rogan. No. I'm not trying to be that. I'm trying to be Dave. But one of the things she says is that we don't emphasize the website enough. We talk about the Facebook page and the email address, but we don't emphasize the website.
Does she listen to our show?
She listens to all of it. Listens to all of it.
Greetings.
She only gets paid for my show, but she listens to all of it.
Okay. No.
And she doesn't get paid a lot. I want to be clear about that. So
but thank you for the kind words.
But anyway, she was complaining because we don't emphasize the website enough. So I will start emphasizing the website, which is very simply whatthefrock.org. It helps if you say it right. So if we could work that into like every other sentence for today.
Okay.
You know, just
as well, you know, we do, you know, we paid for that website, whatthefrock.org, and we, you know, it was a struggle because other people wanted it really badly.
They did.
Yeah.
They did want it. Although I haven't gotten quite the offers for that that I've gotten for my own personal website.
But, yeah. But, or mine. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But whatthefrock.org is our website, and it is where you can go and listen to the show, download every show that's ever existed, and comment on those shows.
So, Dave, does whatthefrock.org have all the DNR shows as well?
It has everything we've ever done. It has all the shows back to when this was just Dave and Rod on Dave's show.
Okay.
Talking about, that's, hey, bitch, awesome. This is Modesto. Remember that?
Yeah.
That's kind of where we started.
And, the sands of Modesto.
Right, the sands of Modesto. And it wasn't whatthefrock.org back then, but now
it wasn't.
It is. So
we've matured like a fine wine.
If you could do us a favor and just, you know, go to the website, and that way I could show her, look. But of course, then the problem is she's going to say, see, I told you so.
True. True.
So,
you know, I could get on my Brave browser and go to the dark webs. And so I get a different IP every time I hit the site. So it'll be all over the world.
That would be great. Speaking of all around the world. Apparently, the entire world is going to world war now.
Yeah.
In case you haven't been keeping up, somebody, we don't know who, killed Putin's ally's daughter yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Car bombing.
In Moscow.
That's huge.
This isn't someplace she did it. They did it, you know, light years away. They did this in Moscow or just outside of Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's. That's Escaladio right there, as Tom Blair would have said, practicing Escaladio. I mean, that's.
Is that kind of like Pilates, but deadlier?
Yeah, I guess. It certainly doesn't lead to good things. It never has. I mean, escalation is problematic, but I'm interested in this in a couple of ways. Number one, whose idea was this?
Well, and there was I saw that there was some news that said that she might not have been the target. It might have been the number one guy, right? The next to Putin.
Well, either way, I mean, whose idea was this?
Yeah.
You know, are we going to go after Putin's ally? Maybe some collateral damage, or you know, I guess the real question is, does Zelensky know? Did Zelensky know? What did Zelensky know and when did he know it?
Well, they've all come out and said, no, it wasn't us.
Right. Right. That's what they've said now.
Yeah.
Know nothing about it. Hey, Russia's going to escalate now. Way to go, whoever you were.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Of course, this is in the middle of the Ukrainians using drones.
Yes.
To hit places in the Black Sea and Crimea and air bases in Crimea. And this is freaking the Russians out.
Yeah.
And you are seeing more and more. I am. I don't know if anybody else is. I am seeing more and more posts about dissatisfaction, disaffection, and in fact, what's the word for it? What do they call it when people leave their country?
When they leave their country?
Right.
God. Renounce their citizenship? I don't know.
Yeah, they disaffection.
Expats?
All right, folks. This is clearly what happens when I don't get enough coffee in the morning. There's a word for it where people bail on their country, like the athletes, the Russian athletes back during the war or during the Cold War, when they would come to the United States for the Olympics and then they would stay. They wouldn't go back. What's that word?
I had it too. It just left me.
I bet it's on whatthefrock.org. Anyway, we're starting to see more and more of those. We're starting to see stories about Russian soldiers who have, I saw one the other day about a Russian soldier who published his account of his time in Ukraine during the war. And he had to leave. He had to bail on his country. He had to, whatever that word is. And I can't think of that word right now. This is so embarrassing. What is that word?
I'm looking. Oh, it's hard to look it up when you don't know the
love of God. Victor Belenko. What, you can't work up a word? You can't work up a word that I don't, we don't know what, defect. God, defecting.
I was, yeah, okay, there you go. That's right.
Defected. Yeah. Wow, that's just not good.
Oh, no.
I could make excuses for it, like Manchester just scored
Yeah, great. But, thanks.
All right, so there's a story out there about this Russian soldier who published this, I think it's like a 140 page document diary that he kept while he was in Ukraine, got injured, somehow or another published it on an underground site in Russia. Russian government found out. And so he was forced to defect. He had to leave the country. And it's not surprising, because this war from the beginning has been, what's the word for it? What is wrong with my brain today?
I don't know.
All right.
I was looking at the replay. Sorry.
Defected. Whatthefrock.org. Go to whatthefrock.org. Anyway, point being that this whole war has been an example of Russian incompetency.
Sure.
It's almost like you wonder, if the Russians weren't trying to screw this up, what would they do differently?
Yeah.
Because it almost smacks of intent to
do this. It almost does. To show how, well, and almost like they're cleaning ranks of their lower level army.
Disaffected. Just people who are problematic. But they're losing a lot of generals and colonels, too. That's the other problem.
Yeah.
Which that tells me, and there's two schools of thought here, but that seems to be, to me, that these Russian generals and colonels and high ranking officers, they're being forced to the front lines to try to correct things. Uh-huh. And that's where they're getting going. Now, yeah, I get the whole idea of leadership from the front. I understand that. But normal tactical doctrine is your colonel, your generals don't actually stand on the front line and get whacked. I mean, haven't done that since the Civil War. But as a general rule of thumb, it seems like this whole thing has just been a Charlie Foxtrot of immense proportions. I mean, right down to the loss of the Moskva with systems that weren't working. Mm-hmm. Oh, we didn't know they had missiles. All right. So you didn't know they had missiles, but you still had missile defense systems. Don't you think you should use them?
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. Well,
didn't they wonder what all the other countries that were kind of like, you know, vocally backing Ukraine might be like shuffling weapons over to them?
Well, by this point, I mean, how much have we sent them? 50 billion, 80 billion? I mean, it's a lot of billions. I know that.
Yeah.
What are they doing with that? Do we really think that the Russians believe that they're using that for humanitarian aid?
Yeah.
I read a story the other day. Now, let me say this about the story. I don't believe the story because there's no way to verify it. Okay.
Okay.
I take an approach to news stories that is very skeptical of everything. Just because somebody tells me something, especially when it's exactly what I want to hear, I'm always skeptical of that. We talked about that a couple weeks ago with Project Veritas.
Yeah.
There is a story out there now that a reporter from one of the East Coast papers, I don't remember which one, was offered an opportunity to see Ukrainian pilots training. But to go see it, he had to be blindfolded, so he couldn't report on where it was. He was driven around for, quote, several hours, unquote, and taken to this airfield where these Ukrainian pilots were training. And he was amazed, pleased, stunned, excited, thrilled to discover that the airplane that they were training on was the American A-10 Warthog, which hitherto we have not announced.
No.
There has been no announcement, no anything that we've sent them A-10 Warthogs. Now, from a purely tactical standpoint, that would be great.
Yeah.
Everybody would be excited because the A-10 Warthog is a...
It's a beast.
It's a badass. And it will ruin your day if you're
even as old as this. They've been retrofitting that and upgrading weapon systems and all that stuff.
It's so old that the United States Air Force wanted to do away with it. And the Army was like, oh, hell no. No. You're not taking those A-10s away. So there was a big debate in Congress a couple of years ago about that, as I recall. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I don't know that I believe the story. It's one of those stories that is like, well, this is what I'd love to see, but even if we did give them A-10s or somehow sneak A-10s into them, and all of a sudden they had A-10s to start busting up Russian tanks. Number one, it doesn't seem like they've had a big problem busting up Russian tanks to begin with. But number two, what's the message there? If all of a sudden A-10s start swooping down on Russian armored columns, what's the message there about Escaladio and where we're
America
going here?
Is fully backing this war.
Yeah. Yeah. This isn't just some cheap drone that they put together in France or wherever. This
or
is
man portable missiles that can take out tanks,
which can be reverse engineered very easily. This is a freaking beast of an airplane that is designed to kill Russian tanks. That's what it was designed to do. It was designed to kill Russian tanks, and it does a very good job at killing Russian tanks and anybody that happens to be using Russian tanks. Just ask the Iraqis. They didn't like it either. So when you see something like this happen where the daughter of Putin's ally or whatever gets killed in a car bombing in Moscow, it certainly jars the mindset of I was commenting to Cammy the other day because she asked me, we were in the car, and she says, "So what's going on in Ukraine?" And I looked at her, it's like, you know, I don't know. Hasn't been in the news for weeks. I mean, it's like it was almost going away.
Yeah.
But now it's coming back. Is this something where the Ukrainians said we need something to generate some headlines and get some sympathy, or
I don't know. Maybe they asked Israel, "Hey, what would you do in this situation?" "Oh, you go bomb this person over here." Okay.
Well, see, now Israel's bombing Iran in Syria. That happened last week. Makes me nervous. Somalia, Al-Shabaab is taking over malls again and killing people.
Great.
Do you remember, this happened when I was on the radio. So it's been 5-6 years now, if not, and it was before that, because that's when I left radio. But remember the guy that came out and said, everybody in the world should learn the Muslim prayer so that if Al-Shabaab takes over your mall, you can yell out the prayer and they'll think you're Muslim and leave you alone? No, I'm not making that up. That actually happened.
That.
Yeah, that actually happened. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like if you know one word of the Shema, I'm going to go, well, that guy's Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you know one
word
of the Lord's Prayer.
They're really stupid. Christian. What they're doing, you know, they're really stupid idiots. And, but just because you did the prayer, well, we're not going to kill them.
Right. It's like, well, anyway, the whole thing
even
seems
though it's
to be,
a woman in a bikini saying the prayer, right?
Yeah. Or a gay dude. As he's being thrown off the roof by
the rainbow,
by the Al-Shabaab terrorists, you know, well, you're gay. Yes, but I know the prayer. So you don't get to just say the prayer and be Muslim. Anyway, the whole thing is escalating now, and it'll be interesting to watch this week and see what happens over this. I'm sure what the Russians will call political assassination, while the Ukrainians will call it, I don't know. It depends on if you're talking about officially or unofficially. Unofficially, I think the Ukrainians are probably very happy about this. Officially, I think they have to be unhappy about it. Officially, I think they have to go, we're getting out of control here. But officially, I think they're pleased with it.
Yeah.
Because it does.
They've got some intelligence operations going on, right?
Hell yeah. That means
that takes some coordination.
Somebody is telling somebody something. This is better than whoever was telling the FBI that Donald Trump has documents.
Yeah.
I mean, because they, you know, that was kind of generalized. Oh, he has some documents somewhere that may have something written on them that might be national security. Yeah. But they were like, we know exactly what car he's in. She's in. We know where that car is going to be, when it's going to be there. And kaboom. There you go. So anyway, speaking of national security, just a plug here, because cross show plugs, we're talking about anti-federalism.
Yes.
And that's one of the big concerns of anti-federalism is that federalists are too concerned with national security.
Imagine that.
Yeah. It's weird.
I've become more anti-federalist, I think, as the years go by.
This isn't the time or the place for this, but. No.
But you need
to
listen to
Dave
and Bill.
Yep.
Dave does history.
That's yet another cross promotion. You need to listen to Dave Does History on Bill McLive coming up this week on whatever. Do you want the promo?
Okay, sure.
Here, I'll give you the promo. You ready?
I'm ready.
In the summer of 1922. Now, this is for this coming Tuesday.
Okay.
August 23rd.
Yeah.
24th. I don't know. In the summer of 1922, the Republican Party was in deep trouble. Tradition holds that all presidents see their party lose seats in Congress during the midterms. But the administration was facing the loss of seats to its own party.
Ouch.
While the Republicans had tended to become more conservative, there was a significant segment of the party leaning full on into the progressive movement of the era. These progressive Republicans, led by Senator Robert La Follette, were gaining ground fast. All they and the Democrats needed to take Congress away was a scandal. Few presidents in history were better equipped to give the nation a scandal than Warren G. Harding, the man that Nixon wished he could have emulated. Anyway, those are things coming up, and you can probably catch part of that on whatthefrock.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Justine, bringing you late night talk for those that go to bed early. Listen to my podcast, What's Justine Thinking, every Wednesday and Friday on Anchor and Spotify.
Welcome back. I'm Dave.
I'm Rod.
Who is debating whether or not he should be a friar.
Yes.
Because, yes. Do you want to tell people the story, or do you want me to tell people the story? Because I know you're distracted over there.
I'll start, I guess.
Let's start with this. Why did you choose to become a friar? See, when we got ordained... Yeah. You could choose your title. So naturally,
I'm a reverend, right? So you get that by just the ordination,
right?
But then you can go and you could select other certificates and stuff. And I thought friar's a good one because I didn't want some exalted, lofty position. I wanted something, you know, the common, the friars are there with the common people, right?
Friars drink beer. That's
when they drink beer too. You know, think Friar Tuck. But so that's one of the reasons why I chose Friar. And it's been a good run. But a story came out this week that has me seriously reconsidering it, because I guess, Dave, and I didn't know this, but in medieval times, friars were twice as likely to be riddled with intestinal parasites as town people. And the reason why that they were twice as likely is because when they were doing their gardening and things like that, they would fertilize with human fecal matter. And so if the parasites were in the fecal matter, then it gets onto the food, and then the good friars would eat their food. And so they were twice as likely to have parasites in them. And so, I'm like, that's just really gross. And that was like, really,
because they were pooping on their food.
Because they were pooping on their food and eating it. Yeah. So I'm seriously considering that maybe I don't want to be a friar. I have many other titles I could go by. I could even get a new one.
Man.
I have Jedi, right?
Jedi's. You have Jedi Knight. Be a Jedi Knight. That would be weird, but
it'd be weird. But yeah. So anyway.
So people ask me all the time, Dave, if you could go back in history, would you? And I always say no. I have no interest in actually going physically back in history. I don't even want to go back to the 1970s. Yeah. I really don't. The 1970s, I grew up in the 1970s. Today is better. Okay. I'm just going to say that because, there's ways to occupy your time now that we didn't used to have.
Would you want to go back to life without the internet?
God, no, I wouldn't. Most importantly, I don't want to go back to these times in history where, let me just say this, where we fertilized our food with human crap. I mean, and that was much more of history than you would imagine. I mean, what's the difference between that and bull crap? I mean, it's in the 70s. I don't know if you remember this, Rod, but there was a big thing in the mid 70s. And I don't know who started it. Don't know why it started. I suspect that there was a farmer somewhere who had a big pile of cow crap and didn't know what to do with it. Like today, you would take that cow crap and you would put it in a methane generator and make electricity with it. In that era, you don't really know. So somebody convinced suburban homeowners around Denver that if you just spread cow crap on your lawn, it'll make your lawn look better. And so dads all over Denver were buying truckloads of this cow crap and spreading it on their lawns. I'm not making this up. And so in the summertime, when it's already too hot,
it smells horrible.
The whole neighborhood, just the whole city just smelled like cow crap at times. And it was like, oh, but my lawn's going to look better.
Yeah.
Who's going to mow? And then dad would say, go mow the lawn. Are you out of your mind? I'm not going out there in that crap. And
but, yeah, just try living in the Central Valley. I mean, you get that at least once or twice a year. The smell just wafts.
Everywhere. Right, but it's not because people are putting it on their lawn.
No.
It's because you have a bunch of dairy farms.
Dairy farms, but then when they're spreading manure out in the fields prior to planting and stuff, you get it.
Of course, they closed the tallow place down in Ceres, so.
Yeah, that was horrible. That following a tallow truck. Oh,
God. I got to Modesto. First time I smelled that, I was like, holy crap.
You see a cow leg sticking out of the back of the truck.
People are laughing at me. In Virginia Beach, when I was stationed in Virginia Beach back in the early 80s, Virginia Beach is really nice, but the base is called Dam Neck, and it's actually just a little bit south of Virginia Beach.
Okay.
And immediately to the southeast of the base, prevailing winds, was a giant pig farm.
Oh, ooh.
So you'd walk out of the barracks in the morning, getting ready to go to chow breakfast. That would hit you and you go, you know what? I'm just not hungry anymore.
Yeah.
Anyway, all of that to say that Rod, who is one of the co-hosts of whatthefrock.org,
yes,
may be changing his title. So What the Frock may be seeing some changes.
So, hey, if people have suggestions, you know, you can always email that at WTF@whatthefrock.org, or you can send them directly to me, Rod at or Dave at.
whatthefrock.org, which you can find at whatthefrock.org.
Yeah.
In contest here. So I will not be changing mine because I really don't have any interest in being a Jedi Knight or anything else.
Yeah. Well, you know, what you will not find on this show is passive aggressiveness. You will not find that. Or sarcasm.
No, not here. The whole point of this discussion was supposed to be whether or not I'm humor impaired. Are you familiar with the concept of humor impairment?
No, I'm not. Why don't you?
Humor impairment is a theory that Dave Barry had many, many years ago. And the idea here is that if you see something and it's funny, but not to you, do you at least understand that it's supposed to be funny?
Okay.
And if you understand that it's supposed to be funny, then you are not humor impaired. Okay. You get that it's supposed to be funny, even if it's not. Think Saturday Night Live.
Sure.
It's supposed to be funny, but
it hasn't been for a while. It's hit
many, many years. So the idea here is that, but if you don't get that something is even supposed to be funny, then you might be humor impaired. Okay. Now, I live in the era of, for some ungodly reason, people think it's funny or whatever to send me TikToks. Hey, Dave, watch this. And I'm not going to name any names or point any fingers, but the two worst offenders in my world are my wife and my son.
Okay.
They send me these TikToks. Not only TikToks, but then you're on Instagram. If you scroll down, they call them Reels or Facebook or whatever. And it's like, okay. So for reasons that don't make any sense, even to me, sometimes I watch these things. And I got to say, I'm completely lost. I don't know what half of these things are even about. Yeah. It's, I assume they're supposed to be funny, but I don't get the context, the relevance, none of it. And so it's like, why is this funny? And so I feel like,
is it cultural humor? Is that what it is?
Because I guess it is. In many cases, it's songs. It's people singing one lyric. So you got to listen to like 30 seconds of this song. And then all of a sudden they burst into the one hook line that's supposed to be the joke, or this thing where there's music playing and they're doing this and he's watching the game, not me. And then they do this with their hands, you know, and then something appears above them. And it's like, I don't get it. I don't understand. But here's what I really don't get. Why in God's name is anybody in this country using TikTok? TikTok is a known underline, bold, highlight, known Chinese spy app.
It is.
It's not even a question.
No.
And yet people are still using it. And I have a theory about why they're still using it, which is that Trump tried to ban it.
Yeah, that could be.
Because Trump tried to ban it. He did. He actually tried to ban TikTok. People are like, well, no. It's like the vaccine. If Trump's making the vaccine, I'm not taking that vaccine. Who said that? Oh, yeah. What was her name? All the time. Oh, yeah. The vice president.
Oh, yeah.
Kamala Harris said she wouldn't take the vaccine.
Kamala Harris.
Until she was the vice president and Biden was saying we should take the vaccine. Then they took the vaccine.
Yeah.
See. So Trump tried to ban.
This is the same vaccine that Biden has had, what, four shots?
I don't know. Four or five times. Still got COVID. He's got
COVID twice. Right. Right. And Jill got it. Just got off of her sequestration. Quarantine.
Sorry, honey. You have to go upstairs. I can't talk to you right now. It's an issue of national security. Go away. Yeah. See, to me, COVID is the perfect excuse for everything. Sorry, couldn't do it. COVID. But anyway, Trump tried to ban it. And somebody fought him on that. I don't remember if it was the courts or the left or whoever. And of course, Biden's approach to it has been he doesn't even know what TikTok is. So he's not doing anything. But I'm wondering is if Biden came out and said, hey, TikTok is a Chinese spy app.
Yeah.
Do you think people would go, oh, my God, I should stop using this? Well, it's too late now. You've already given them all your information. Saw a post this morning about some of the code that's embedded in TikTok and how it's keystroke tracking and location tracking. And anyway, so I don't know.
This is a friendly reminder from your security professional here that you really shouldn't use the mobile apps if you can help it. You open those social media sites in a browser because they don't have the tracking capability that they do with the app.
Right. Especially if you use some of the better browsers.
Yes.
There you go. And anyway, I don't know. So I didn't know if I was humor impaired because I don't get this stuff that's funny, or is it because I have this overwhelming dread of Chinese spying on me? And here's the other question. If I just watch the TikTok, in other words, I'm not on the app.
Yeah.
Are they still tracking me?
Well, if you're not on the app, they're going to know the IP address that you browse from, unless you're using a VPN,
which I am, of course, because I listen to Rod on whatthefrock.org.
Yeah.
So I definitely use a VPN. In fact, whole point of this ground into nothing here. I don't understand why people are still using this. I really don't. I don't understand why Facebook is going this direction. They're not funny. That's the problem. Okay. No. If you want to post Seinfeld clips or Office clips, or what's the one that people are sending all the time? Friends.
Yeah.
By the way, people are trying to cancel Friends now.
Are they?
Have you followed this? They want to cancel Friends and Seinfeld for the same reason. Because they're just not diverse enough.
Yeah.
And I guess Jennifer Aniston got pretty pissy about that the other day.
It was Lisa Kudrow that
got. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, one of them. Hey, did you just score? You did. Yep. VAR decision. Score. 1-1.
There we go.
There you go. Anyway, stop using TikTok, and more importantly, stop sending me TikToks because I don't get them. It's not that I don't get that they're supposed to be funny.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. So
your feed, by the way, for the game is at least 3 to 5 seconds faster than mine.
Well, of course it is.
So just letting you know.
Oh, so you don't want to know what you're telling me. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm Bill Mick with WMMV Radio in Melbourne, Florida, where we have a governor that will actually stand for what's right. My show airs mornings from 6 to 9 Eastern. Every day we discuss news, politics, and social issues that impact us all. Tuesdays in our 8 o'clock hour, Dave joins me for something we call Dave Does History, where Dave brings us events from our past that contain lessons for right now. To listen live, find WMMV on the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome back to What the Frock, that can be found at whatthefrock.org. I am Rod.
And I'm Rabbi Dave.
And today's WTF story for me this week is, and we all know who Mark Zuckerberg is. We know how the, you know, he's a billionaire. He's doing this whole Meta thing, and he's just, he's like Data from Star Trek. Literally, I've seen images of Data and him.
No, he's not. He's nothing like Data from Star Trek. You know why? No,
I mean, look wise.
Data from Star Trek, we like.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, but look wise, you know, you actually give Mark Zuckerberg a slight tan from his pasty pale skin, and he'd look like Data.
Okay.
The Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg this week unveiled his new avatar. That basically is a, you've heard of the Wii, right, Dave? The Nintendo Wii.
Oh, have I heard of the Wii?
And you get those little avatars and stuff. Well, the avatars on the Wii were actually better looking than Mark Zuckerberg, the billionaire, you know, founder of Facebook and CEO of Meta, had. And I'm not kidding. This guy has billions of dollars and he can't come up with a better freaking avatar of himself.
You don't think he's really doing that, do you?
What's worse is he's paying someone to do it.
Right.
So it's like, and then he announces it. He thinks it's great and announces it in the news. It's like, okay, WTF, guy. Play a video game.
This is not my WTF, but you asked me about if I've heard of the Wii.
Yes.
So do you remember when the Wii came out?
Yes, I do.
I can tell you exactly when it was. It was December-ish of 2006. And why do I remember this? Because at the time I was dating a gal who was very much into video games.
Okay.
And who made it clear to me that if I wanted to please her, and thus for her to please me, Christmas was coming and she wanted a Wii.
Which is how it works in
right,
most real households. Life.
Anyway. So I said, okay. And I went down to GameStop there at the old Vintage Fair Mall and said, okay, when does the Wii come out? And the guy says, it'll be out December. Great. I'll be back then. And he laughed at me.
Nah, there's a waiting list.
Well, this was the first concept I'd ever heard of having to pre-order something because it was going to be. So, of course, I didn't pre-order it. Christmas is coming.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, crap. So, you know what happens, right? Half these people buy these machines. They have no intention of ever even opening them. This is the glory days of eBay.
Sure.
So the Wii costs $249, unless you don't pre-order one for your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So then they cost about $650.
Yeah.
But I did get her one.
Ouch.
And now my son is all about Wii U and Wii this and Wii that. And I'm like, he keeps talking about them as classical gaming consoles. I'm like, dude.
In my day, we had the Atari.
But my actual WTF comes from one of my favorite places on earth. Love this place.
Yeah.
If it ever blows up, all you people are dead. I'm relatively safe. I'm not going to get any of the destructive power. Sure. However, we will starve to death because all the transportation networks will be shut down. And there you go. So I'm just sitting here the other day, cruising through social media 2 days ago. And my favorite place in the world, Yellowstone, comes up with this post. And I'm not kidding you, Rod. It says, in parentheses, heads up, !! close parentheses. That's the start of the social media post. I don't know if you can see that or not.
Okay, I can see it. Yeah.
See that?
Yeah.
Heads up. Yellowstone Park incident at Abyss Pool in West Thumb Geyser Basin. For your own safety, please stay away. On August 16th, an employee found part of a foot in a shoe floating in Abyss Pool located in West Thumb Geyser Park. An investigation is ongoing. Anyway, so I'm reading this whole thing. Abyss Pool is a depth of more than 50 feet. It's one of the deepest hot springs in the park. Temperature's approximately 140 degrees. Visitors are reminded, stay on the boardwalks.
Yes.
One of my favorite social media places is a thing called Turons of Yellowstone.
Turons, is a play on morons?
Yes, and it's a post of people doing stupid crap and getting hurt for the most part in Yellowstone, including that little girl that got thrown by the buffalo some years ago, which is, I know it's not new, but that one pleases me more and more every time I watch it because not only is the 10-year-old girl doing something stupid, but her parents are doing something stupid too, and they run away and leave their little girl to face the buffalo.
Yeah.
It's just, I know it's not funny. I'm not supposed to laugh, but it's funny. Because the little girl goes flying through here.
So am I humor impaired because I laughed at that? I thought it was funny.
Oh, God, no. You get that it's supposed to be funny. So anyway, they found a foot, a human foot with a shoe on it. But that's all the detail they give you in this release. I went to the press release. I'm like, what the hell?
So is someone missing a foot somewhere that didn't call it in? Right. Or?
That's what I'm thinking is, what, would somebody get pushed in? You know, this Lake Mead thing. Have you watched this? This Lake Mead is
all
falling.
These
they're filing all these bodies and stuff. Did someone disappear someone into the abyss pool? And it yells. Well, if it had just ended there, and this happened, by the way, while I was in Oklahoma, so I wasn't following the news.
Yeah.
But as it turns out, someone did decide to, I guess, go swimming in the abyss pool, and all that's left of them now is their foot.
Is that highly acidic?
It's highly hot.
Well, it's hot, but is it acidic?
It's thermal. I mean, it's probably full of hydrogen.
So the rest of their body sulfates cooked away? Or?
Probably. So that's even, and that's not even the best part.
Okay.
22 people have died at Yellowstone Park in recent years doing falling into these. Just saying, folks, if you go to Yellowstone, stay on the boardwalks. Otherwise, you may find yourself the subject of what the frock? Welcome back. I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
And one of the things we like to do here is talk about news I don't know why you would care about. It's always entertaining. And this one actually came from Rod this morning. I didn't actually see this one until Rod's tweet about this, which is a story that we've been following for some time, which continues to bemuse, although it is a tragic story. The most recent news was the FBI, the same FBI that raided Mar-a-Lago that I'm not supposed to trust. Now I'm supposed to trust is telling me that the only way Alec Baldwin's gun could have fired is if he actually pulled the trigger, which I think anybody with the intelligence of cabbage knew all along.
Yeah, it was in his hand.
Right.
They just don't go off.
Right. Plus, he was pointing it at somebody, which I don't know, man. I've been through a lot of gun classes, and I think that's rule number one. Never point at anything you don't plan to shoot. If you're pointing at it, you're planning to shoot it. And of course, he did, because he pulled the trigger. But now, Alec Baldwin has revealed in an interview via TMZ that he was afraid that Trump supporters would kill him following the Rust shooting last October. I guess Trump reacted to the tragedy by claiming Baldwin probably shot her on purpose, which Baldwin feared would ignite the former president's fan base on against him in the same way. I waited 5 seconds before I gave you the gesture.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Thank you.
So
Still off in the timing by about 2 seconds. So
sorry.
That's okay. Alec gave Baldwin, me time to like look
up and go, oh, well, there's a good thing. Alec Baldwin was afraid or is afraid. Is he still afraid, or was, I guess, if feared was past tense. He was 1,000% nervous about Trump supporters attacking him. He added, quote, a bunch of people were instructed by the former president to go to the Capitol. Pretty sure that didn't happen. And they killed a law enforcement officer. They killed somebody. You don't think, I thought to myself, are these people going to come and kill me?
He's insane.
They killed a law enforcement officer? He had a heart attack, right?
Yeah, he had a heart attack. No, the law enforcement
killed the protester.
Yeah, right. Killed the protester.
Right.
That's the only death attributed to this actual event.
Baldwin was afraid the Trump supporters were going to kill him. And I just keep thinking to myself, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
The story is great.
He still wants to film the movie, though.
You know, I said this a couple, was last week we talked about this or a couple weeks ago? I don't remember. I said, you know, from a purely
story
standpoint, it's not, I've read the outline of the story, mm-hmm. and it's not a bad story. I mean, it's a typical Western, you know, bad, good guy is harassed by bad guys and goes to get revenge. But at the same time, I'm like, man, I just, at this point, how can you do it?
Yeah.
It's,
you'd have to, one, you're going to have to change the name. You can't have him in the role. Hmm.
But he is. Yeah,
what film crew is going to sit there and sure, we'll be behind the camera while you aim a gun at us. Right.
Yeah. We're going to do some remote control cameraing.
Bulletproof vests. You know,
everybody. SWAT the first shields. Time in Hollywood history, everybody's behind Alec Baldwin as he's doing the shoot. Hey, Alec, why don't you come over here and man the camera and we'll be over there. That'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Hey, or right. They should wear, you know, the camera people should wear Trump t-shirts. He'd freak
ooh,
out.
Ooh. That would. Can you imagine
it'd showing be unemployable?
Up, right. Can you imagine showing up with a MAGA hat to an Alec Baldwin shooting? Sorry, filming. Speaking of remote controls, don't mess with Rory McIlroy. You know who he is?
The name sounds really familiar.
He is a professional golfer. He's okay, from yeah. Ireland, Northern Ireland. He was paired with Scott Stallings during Saturday's third round of the BMW Championship at the Wilmington Country Club South Course. Always love how they have to tell you all that. A fan then intruded and dropped something called, I'm not making this up, a remote control golf ball on the green and attempted to make it go into the hole at the par 3 15th. Okay, so follow me here. You paid money to get into these, mm-hmm. to watch these people golf. That's, again, it's something I don't completely, I play golf. I'm not good at it, but I enjoy it. I'll watch it on TV.
I don't like watching it on TV, but.
I don't watch a lot of it on TV, but I will watch some of it on TV.
Okay.
Not very much, but if there's literally nothing else on, if it's in that dead zone between the end of the Super Bowl and the start of spring training, when there's, and it's, you know, a weekday where there's no hockey, mm-hmm. golf. Okay. Unless I happen to have some football games or something taped from or there's not a replay on or something, you know, maybe 15th or 16th down the line.
Yeah.
Okay. If it's the Masters, something like that.
Okay.
So you pay to get into these things. I know this because once upon a time, someone else paid for me to go see the Pro-Am at Pebble Beach.
Okay.
I did not do it, but anyway, you pay to get in there and your entire purpose of this is to go to the par 3 green with a remote control ball and quote, try to get it to go into the hole, unquote, which basically says to me, well, Stallings said, this wasn't exactly something I expected to see. He kept yelling at Rory, this is my dream. This is my dream. I don't know exactly what I'm dreaming about, but his ball is gone. That's because McIlroy ended his fun quickly. First, he took a couple of swats at it with his putter. But when the spectator made a third attempt at holding the ball, McIlroy picked it up and threw it into the pond. So you paid all that money to get in there.
And I'm sure, you know, remote golf balls are not cheap.
I'm sure they're not, but most importantly, your ball got thrown into the pond, but you didn't even get it in the hole. So did you just not practice before you went? Did you, what is your problem here that you can't control this ball well enough to get it picked up and thrown into the abyss? At any rate, it was one of the strangest things people have seen. On the golf course, police officer came over and, quote, escorted the spectator away. Yeah, I'm sure that didn't end up with that. I was with a streaker doing sand angels completely naked at the waste management at 17, he said, but I've never seen anything like this. Well, so whenever I play golf, I always bring a brand new ball, at least one brand new ball.
Yeah.
And you know what I do with it?
What?
I don't play it. As soon as we get to the first water hazard, wherever that is, I just take that ball and I throw it into the water.
Huh.
As a propitiation, as a sacrifice, as an appeasement for the golf gods, because my game is just not that good and I don't want to lose any more balls. So I figure if I give it one,
yeah, then,
they won't take it up. And for the most part, it works. I generally stay away from water.
Okay.
Generally. But yeah. That's what I do. So anyway.
So I have a story for why would anyone care about it in the news? So basically, you know, Jill Biden had COVID and tested negative now and has finally been released to join Joe in Delaware. I don't understand why this is news. She's the first freaking lady. You know, other than.
Do you know that the first lady has a PR person? A spokesperson?
You had mentioned that. They had
not only does she have a spokesperson, but they quit. And they're having trouble hiring a new one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why does the first lady need a spokesperson?
But hasn't Joe been a little quiet since she's got COVID? I mean, he's had to do some things, but he has been quiet.
Right.
Since she's been gone.
Is this a conspiracy theory?
So who?
You think she's controlling what he's saying?
I'm thinking so.
Well, somebody has to type on the teleprompter. Is it Joe Biden?
Dr. Joe Biden?
By the way,
I don't know, Dr. Dave.
By the way, in response to my good friend David Nabham the other day, you don't have to call me doctor, but you can.
Yeah, just say. Same thing. Right. Same here.
I do have an honorary doctorate. I didn't do anything for it, but I have.
Well, you did.
Yes,
that's true. You had to register on a site and pay a certain fee or donation, whatever you call it.
Which is pretty much what you got to do for a real one, right?
Pretty much. You're paying money to some institution. Right. And yeah, they ask you questions and you have to do some work. But we didn't have to do as much work.
At any rate, you don't have to call me doctor, but you can. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod for the time being.
And for the time being, right. You don't actually garden, do you?
No, I don't. I have no green thumb whatsoever.
All right. So, see, that's the other part of the past that just bugs me. Okay, so here's this story. In case you skipped over this part of the show today, which you shouldn't do, but you can always go to whatthefrock.org and listen to the part of the show that you might have missed.
Yes.
Turns out that friars back in the, when would that have been? The Dark Ages? The Middle Ages?
Let me look it up. I've got the thing open.
At any rate, they were susceptible to intestinal worms, medieval times, because, which is a word that doesn't sound like it's spelled. They were susceptible to intestinal worms because, as it turns out, they fertilized their gardens with human waste.
Yeah.
And so we were joking about the fact that Rod probably doesn't want to be a friar anymore. But you know what we never talk about?
What?
So we get the whole story. Well, they fertilize this and okay. I get it. The nitrogen in there is good fertilizer. And I understand all that. But nobody ever talks about the methodology by which they did this.
Okay.
Doesn't that bother anybody?
You're a historian. Yeah. Right. So do you know the methodology?
Well, I can guess. I mean,
well, yeah, I mean,
I know for a fact
they collected Henry it in buckets, right?
Right. Henry VIII, King of England and noted misogynist, he had a person on his staff. There was a person in his court whose entire job was to clean the king.
Ugh.
After his ablutions. That was his job. And I'm like, there are a few things in this world that would make me puke faster than crap.
So his, what's his name, Bud?
No.
A bidet?
He was the royal groomsman was his title, although they probably didn't have bidets back then. Anyway, so yeah, we never talk about the person. Yeah. And I don't know who that person was, whose entire job, History of the World Part One, Piss Boy, you know, there's a person whose entire job is to lug these buckets of crap to the garden to
dump them,
spread it out and to spread it out. I mean, you can't just glop it on there. It's got to be.
Kind of reminds you of the whole Monty Python peasants where they're like in the muck.
Yes. Oh, God. This show went downhill quick, didn't it? You know, you can give this show a rating at whatthefrock.org as well. So
just send your comments to WTF at whatthefrock.org.
And on that note, I'm Rabbi Dave.
I am Friar Rod.
And this has been
What the Frock?